The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome to Freedom, and how are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Happy New Year to you and Barbados as well. How did you all ring in the new year?
Well, for me, it was very quiet, but I am sure lots of people here went out and took part in the parties and dinners and stuff like that. But for me, I was at home watching the ball drop.
And then Monday after that ball drop, the next one fell. How did Barbados react to it?
I think it took a lot of people here by surprise, actually, because, you know, we weren't expecting that. And also the effect it has on our tourism product. As you know, we are very much into the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people here were really surprised that it happened and the way it did.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of being a writer, do you see material to use to bring forth another book as a writer? How do you see the space right now?
Actually, I am glad you mentioned that, because I am one who always think about the possibilities of having things like that interrupt or tourism product. And it makes me think about all the implications it could have on our industry. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I am very passionate about when it comes to tourism and how we market our product and that sort of thing. So yes, I believe it will open the door for some writing material for myself and mm-hmm. some others as well. Yes.
Now, in terms of the spy genre and the espionage genre, I'm thinking that a lot of people have a lot of material to work with where this is concerned. Yeah. You know, as they say, the kind of precise way it was done and the fallout after. But in terms of your genre, what is your book about? Scarred Healing from Inside Out? This is more self-help, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. When I wrote this book, I was thinking more along the lines of it helping others who are going through everyday problems and situations. And actually, it is right now, it is coming at a time where, you know, the world is going through a lot of turmoil. And I believe we all need some form of motivation to continue, you know, and to I find that this book actually is a memoir. Mm-hmm. And it is written from my childhood right through to adulthood. So I think at this point in time, we really need this. Mm-hmm. Also mentioned that I had another publication which is complementary to this book, which is From Fear to Empowerment, and that one is a guide, a 10-step guide to living your life authentically, and especially in these times when it is really, really, the world is upside down, as I always say. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's going sideways right now, but there's hope. And I'm hoping that my book will inspire others, you know, to continue the fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the steps that you just mentioned, first of all, in terms of how the process begins with healing, I think you have to establish what is the issue, what's the problem. How do you go about that first step?
Okay, so for me personally, I wrote this book when I was faced with a major medical condition and how it affected my life, and what I am really trying to get out there and let people know about is that even though you're going through this type of experience or trouble at this time, there's still hope. There's still lots of things you can still continue to do even though you're going through this stage in your life. So when we look at the name Scarred and Healing from the Inside Out, I actually was likening my book or my condition to my past and the, you know, some of the pain and wounds that I would have suffered as well. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I didn't connect that to my illness. But then later on in life, I was able to reflect on it and see that those scars that were created from childhood right through also plays a role in your everyday life and healing. So if you don't heal that part of your life, then you're always going to be stuck. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I did, especially with the guide, is that I had laid out the steps that I took to help me get through that part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your illness without going too deep into it, because I know I'm getting that you want to be a bit private on it. Mm-hmm. How was the transition from hearing about it, disbelief, and then acceptance? Can you describe a little bit of how you managed that?
Yes. Okay. So when I, it just so happened that this occurred shortly after my mom had just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was dealing with just trying to get my life back in order, you know, and going about my business. I had a corporate job and everything, and I was going along with my career. Everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, I was experiencing some shortness of breath, and that made me go in to have a check. And in doing that check, they discovered that I had some issues with my lungs, and eventually I went through a series of battery of tests and different things, as you know, to find out what the issue was and that kind of thing. So while doing that, I realized that I needed to call on my faith at that point in time. I was very, trying to decide what to do here. What am I going to do with this diagnosis? I had my daughter, who was very young at the time. She was just in secondary school, and I wanted to see her graduate. I wanted to be there for her, and it meant a whole lifestyle change for me. I had to be at home, you know, at one point I was on the oxygen and stuff like that. So it did change my lifestyle, and as you said, I couldn't believe it. It was like, how can one go from, you know, this, you're at the pinnacle of your career, as I say, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with a major illness like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it was very difficult to accept at first. And along with that came the fear of what it means for my family, what it means for me, and the type of life I would have after that.
And how your relationships with persons, in terms of understanding that you had to go through that process, how did it change? Did some improve, or did some become distant? What was that like?
Yes, that was an interesting point for me, because as you know, with this type of illness, I had to be careful around people and, you know, picking up respiratory conditions and stuff like that. And I didn't think at first a lot of people understood. And up to now, I think a lot of people still don't understand about it, because you look healthy. You look like, you know, there isn't anything really going on. So sometimes some people accept that, you know, you have a condition, and you know, they're willing like that. Especially during the pandemic, for me, it was so scary. And I had friends who rallied behind me, and they helped me, and they brought me food, and, you know, they anything that I needed during the pandemic. I had some folks that were willing to really help me out and understood that, you know, I was not one to be, I wasn't able to go out like most people. I was home for about, I would say, 18 months, you mm-hmm. know, not being able to socialize and be with my friends and that kind of thing. So it did have some impact on my life and friends and friendships and that kind of thing.
In terms of your book, how did you go about structuring what to put in and what to leave out? Because this is a very personal experience. And, you know, to keep persons invested in the book and understanding your journey, what was that process like for you?
Okay, so when I first started, I've written this book. I had different versions of it, but I didn't want it to be so structured around an illness per se.
Yeah.
So I started off by, you know, reliving my childhood experiences, growing up in Barbados. On the cover is a young girl who represents me as a child running through the cane fields in Barbados, because, you know, as you know, we were very sugar oriented.
Yeah,
before. So growing up in the rural parts of Barbados, I actually experienced living around a plantation and the harvesting of the canes and stuff like that. So I wanted that to be on the cover, showing me as a child going through the cane fields and running and playing, you know, back in, and then transitioning that right through to my to adulthood. So there were times when I had to make a decision: do I want to put this in the book, or do I want to, you know? And sometimes, you know, you can. For me, I try to just keep the book as positive as I could, and not get into all the juiciness, as people would say, you know, later on. But I was able to do that based on how I saw my life, you know, throughout the years, from being a child right up.
Have you decided to stick with self-help, or are you planning to branch out into other genres as well?
Actually, I do plan to. This is actually my third publication. I actually started out as a cookbook author. That was my first publication. And I decided, you know what, I want to help others, and I want others to be able to learn something from my experience. So I plan to make the guide, the From Fear to Empowerment, I want to make that a series. So I started to write other books along that line of self-help. So maybe I'll branch out into something else. I'm not sure yet, but a novel maybe, you know, non-fiction. I could probably look at that as well. But right now I'm focusing mainly on self-help.
Now let's talk about the cookbook a little bit. You know, from Bajan cuisine, it's every country in the Caribbean has their own distinctive flavor, way of doing things. I'm not too familiar with the Bajan side just yet, but from what I recall, you're like a lot of spices, because my grandfather was Bajan. So, you know, adapting to Trini style, you know, there were some elements that were in it. What were some of the favorite recipes that you put into the book?
Okay, some of my, like, what we normally, and especially around November, which is our month of independence, we spend a lot of time, we do a lot of things around food. We have the Food and Rum Festival, we have NIFCA, we have all of these different things going on around that time. And you will find that in Barbados, for instance, we do conkeys. I don't know if you have those in Trinidad, but it's made with corn meal. And so we have conkeys, we have
We lost audio for a second there. Are you hearing me? Just lost audio for a second. I think it's the connection. Can we try again?
Sound.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, so we were talking about the cornmeal conkeys. Yes?
Conkeys, yes.
Trying my best to bring up my Bajan tongue.
Yes, those are usually popular around Independence. We we usually made those in November, around that time. We have, as I've said, like the coconut bread, sweet bread. We have so for me, my favorite type of spices would obviously be like cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, those sort of things that you add to your dishes. And then coming out of that, now you're preparing for Christmas, so we're doing our black cake again. That would have like the same similar spices again, and you know, the fruits and stuff you soak in your alcohol, be it rum or wine, you know. So around that time of the year, yeah, we're focused a lot on food, and that's one of my favorite times.
And make sure that the fruits are soaking from like all now to make sure that it's ready for later on in the year. In terms of the other works that you have planned, do you see yourself going into, like I said, other genres? You mentioned novels. What would be the premise for that novel?
I think, I don't really have anything in particular right now that I would say that, you know, this is what I'm gonna focus on. I was actually speaking with my editor the other day, and we were talking about, you know, looking at other genres and stuff. And I did mention, though, I'm probably doing a novel or some sort of fiction. I haven't decided yet, so I can't really say what that will be. But I believe it would be around some sort of like drama thriller type of, you know, type of thing, criminal. I don't know yet. I'm thinking about it. So as we go along, I will obviously try to fill in the blanks and, you know, go from there.
All right, going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will try to take some calls as well. 625-2257, 627-3223. For those who are interested in writing and have any questions for Ms. Sobers, you can ask as well. And when we come back, probably you can give us a few more tips from your list in terms of healing from the inside out. Stay tuned, TNT. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters. Every weekday morning, Tosca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Connect with Tuscan. Call or WhatsApp your thoughts. Now.
So if you're just joining me inside The Human Impact, today we are speaking with Miss Faye Skeet Sobers from the beautiful country of Barbados. And she is talking to us about healing from the inside out, which is a self-help book, or a book on guiding you through the healing journey. So we just talked about your list. As you said, there are a few pointers that you've learned along your way, your own journey, that you've put into the book that you think can help a lot of persons. Can you give us like one or two from that list?
Okay. So the guide, which is called From Fear to Empowerment, is actually 10 steps that I took while I was going through my current condition One of the things that I did a lot of when I was diagnosed early on was prayer. I believe so much in calling on a higher power for that healing and presence, you know, in dealing with the illness, because there were times when I was unsure, like I didn't know what to expect, the pain from the surgery, all that kind of thing. And you know, you're in a territory that you haven't even heard about before, because this was the first time I'm learning about this, learning about the illness and how to deal with it. So for me, prayer was one of my major things that I did. And I have that as step number one in the guide, where I encourage others to, you know, call on what you believe in to help you through this rough period and time. Also, I believe that one should be your own advocate, because sometimes you're faced with something and you don't know if what the information you're being given, if it's correct. Of course, you trust your doctors. And so I'm saying, though, that in these times, just try to also help yourself, you know, lean in on that, whether it's supporters or material books or anything that you can lean on to, you know, to learn more about what you're going through and how to face it. I believe that also when your doctors are giving you the treatment and stuff, it's up to you to follow up and make sure that you're following the plan, the treatment plan, and you know, you have to be your own advocate. So those are two of the steps that I would say helped me in trying to understand what I was going through and what I was facing. Mm-hmm. So I've detailed that in the book, and I also have, it's like a journal, so you can also record what you're feeling as you go through the book and the different steps. So it's all here, and there's lots of space in the book for you to write and also, you know, document your own journey, whether it's dealing with illness or relationships or anything, you know, you're going through everyday situations. Mm-hmm. So you can use the book to make your notes.
To carry it along with you.
Yes, it is. It's a small book. It's about 100 pages. And you can actually put this in your
handbag or
yeah. I have it with you all day.
Now, you did mention that you have kids. Is it one or is it two?
Yes, I have two.
And
I have two.
What are some of the things that you would like to impart from your journey to them? Is it a boy, girl? Is it two girls?
Yeah. I have a boy. A son and a daughter. They've encouraged me so much, and actually, it was because of them that I started writing my cookbook. For instance, my kids, they were, when they realized that I was my condition and how serious it was, they started to encourage me. They said, "Mom, you should write down your recipes. You know, so we can have something to remember if anything should happen, you know." And I started writing the recipes down, and then my son suggested, why not write a cookbook? So that is what I did. And from there on, you know, I started writing the book Scarred. And I had it there for a few years. I would go back to it, and then I would write a little bit more. And then I, you know, so this last year, I said, you know, this should be the year that I publish my books. Let me get them out now and see, you know, how it goes. So my kids, they have been really helpful and instrumental in me taking on this journey. particularly, I would say my daughter, she's very appreciative too of me being there right now. She's in university, she's overseas, and she's studying. And I am so happy that I'm here to experience that along with her, you know, because at one point I thought I wasn't going to see it. I wasn't mm-hmm. going to be there. And it means so much to have them, you know, be on board with everything that I'm doing right now.
And this would be a culminating in happy memories for them to take on beyond, you know, the experience. And they have the physical side of it as well in the books. Part
yes.
of the publishing process, I don't know what it's like in Barbados, probably you can draw a parallel or comparison. How was that process for you? Was it difficult? Because some of the writers that I speak to here in TNT do have a query or a worry in getting their books published. Is it that you're self-published or did you go to a publisher to get it done?
Okay, and this, I've done self-publishing. But I also use an editing service
mm-hmm.
Here in Barbados. I've used Passionate Words, and I was able to go through the process with the editor, where I submitted the manuscript, and then have him go through it, edit, and he basically guided me through the whole process of self-publishing. I had tried self-publishing before with the cookbook. And this time I just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, doing it the right way. So, yes, I did engage an editor, but I did the self-publishing part. We did it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite an experience going back and forth, you know, and making the changes and making sure that everything was looking good and stuff like that. So it is challenging, but it is it's something that you have control over when you self-publish, as opposed to using a publisher. But there are pros and cons to everything. So I believe that it depends on the person or the author, what they're willing to do mm-hmm. and how they're willing to go about it. But yes, for me, I chose self-publishing.
So from this book to the next one, you did say you want to step into novels, etc. What process do you use for inspiration? You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, when they went out to the beach and they saw a particular bird and, oh, a whole book comes. Is it that easy for you, or is it that you had to take your time?
Yes, I believe for me, I am taking my time, because I would, like, if an idea comes to me, I usually would write it down, and then I would add to that. Like if a few days later something else might come to me, and I said, you know what, I can add to that. I could use this experience to expand on that. Right now, what I've started writing, I have another book which I'm working on right now, and as I go along, I'm thinking every time something comes up relating mm-hmm. to that topic, I go on and, you know, I start to type and I put it down. I get excited, and then, you know, you may have what they call writer's block or whatever it is called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that and you stop and then you restart again. But yes, that's something. It is inspiration from what is happening around you. For me, that is how I write.
Mm-hmm.
If I see or hear of something that I think, that's an interesting spin, that's how I go about it.
All right. So are there any last words of encouragement that you have for our listeners, and encouragement for writers as well?
Yeah, sure. For listeners, I would say it doesn't matter where you are right now, what your situation is, what you're going through, there's always hope. And I believe that my story is a story basically of hope. And I don't know what the end result will be, but I'm hopeful that I can find some sort of when I say healing, some sort of cure for my condition. There's nothing right now that can be done except me continue to live a healthy lifestyle and, you know, do the things that I know I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I would say life is a challenge, yes, but you can also get through it. If I got through it, I believe there are other people out there listening who've experienced some really tough situations. And I am here to give you hope that, you know, you can still continue to live and don't give up. Don't ever give up. Mm-hmm. For writers, I use my book as I would say, I write not just to tell my story, but to inspire and help others rewrite their stories. So if you have a story out there, if you have something that you want to share with the world, this is the time to do it.
With everything that has been happening, especially in the Caribbean, it's unprecedented. Why waste time?
Yes, write about it. You know, take notes, do what you have to do, put it together, and bring your story out there to the world. We are all here ready and willing to share. And I'm looking forward to meeting some other authors in the near future, especially Caribbean authors, you know, who have their stories. And I'm actually excited about this time for us. Despite everything that's going on around us, we still have to be our brother's keepers and, you know, maintain that sort of togetherness, which is needed right now.
All right, Ms. Sobers, thank you so much for coming onto Freedom 106.5 FM and talking to us about your book. And as soon as the novel is done, you know where to find us.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank best you. Of luck to you.
Thanks.
All right, TNT, 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. Thank you once again, Ms. Faye Skeet Sobers. Oh, wait, before you go, where can they get your book? That's one question I didn't ask you.
My books are all available on Amazon. They're available. Scarred, Healing from the Inside Out is available in paperback. It's available in hardcover. And also there's a Kindle version of it. From Fair to Empowerment is also available in paperback, and my cookbook is also available on Amazon, and it's both Kindle and paperback
as well.
So amazon.com, you'll find my books there.
All right,
thank you so
support our Caribbean writers.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.